I bet this sounds familiar. I feel like I want to cry. I was just typed as a flamboyant natural, and I hate everything about it. Or, my dream style is femme fatale, but I'm just not romantic or pretty enough to pull it off. Hi, I'm Gabriella Ruta, your host for the Style POV podcast, and I'm here to help you learn to trust your fashion instincts, hone your authentic style POV, and find strength through style. Today we are going to discuss the feeling of being an imposter in our style. Whether that's an insecurity to claim a certain essence blend, image identity, or other various style parameters, or whether it's just not feeling like we are good enough to achieve our dream style, we're going to dig into it. This episode is really a follow-up to the previous episode on style ownership, which I also recommend you explore if you find yourself nodding in agreement with what I'm about to say. Let's dig in. So, you made a commitment to yourself that you're going to insert style goal here. Anything from look more polished, determine what clothes suit my body, or even start dressing in an authentic way. But as you dig into your goal and begin the messy middle of your style journey, where you're gathering new information and trying to make sense of it in real life, you suddenly get struck with doubt. Now, maybe you doubt your ID is correct because the so-called style lines just aren't working for you. Or maybe it's more self-doubt that the angelic essence is rare and I'm pretty average, so can I possibly have this in my blend? Well, we are going to dissect the information from two standpoints. One is the role that imposter syndrome is playing in your style journey. And the other concept is making claims and how these claims impact our perception, integration, and freedom of expression in our style. Because it pains me when I hear, I feel like I want to cry. I was just typed as a flamboyant natural and I hate everything about it. Or my dream style is to be a fairy princess, but I don't have that essence. So the imposter phenomenon was first coined by Dr. Pauline Clance and Dr. Suzanne Imes in a paper they wrote in 1978. All references are always in the show notes. And while some of their claims have been disproven or adjusted over the past decades, the root theory, in my opinion, still holds valuable weight. Imposter syndrome can be defined as a false internal belief that one's esteemed positions, achievements, or claims are not because of their own competence, but because of some external factor, stroke of good luck, or just by mistake. Now, oftentimes imposter syndrome is linked to a fear of being marked as, quote, incompetent, unquote. You were given a raise that you don't feel you are qualified for, so you fear you will be found out and labeled a fraud. But I believe it can be expressed differently in lateral domains. For instance, in the style domain, not feeling worthy enough to claim an image identity or not feeling special enough to be this essence is also feeling like an imposter. There's a feeling of being overvalued, a fear in claiming something, quote, special, unquote. There is a disconnect in the value we assign ourselves and what we can comfortably claim as ours. And depending on our unique values and decades of honing opinions and preferences, what we feel scared to claim can be vastly different from person to person. While one person might be afraid to claim the rare angelic essence, others might be more hesitant to claim being a flamboyant natural because, well, they can't possibly measure up to the 90 supermodels that have this ID. Or maybe you feel scared to wear that dress because, well, you're not a size zero anymore, and laying claim to a certain look after a certain age isn't for an average person like you. That sounds harsh, but really, think about your internal dialogue. I bet you've said much worse things to yourself or had some variable amounts of doubt creep in when making claims on your style journey. We feel insecure, yet also start creating a complicated pros and cons list in our head. My measurements say that I'm an hourglass shape. I have a large waist to hip ratio, but not all the recommendations for this elusive hourglass shape work for me, and it's not like I look like Jessica Rabbit. So, could I be? No, I'm sure I'm not. Here's the problem. Our habitual narrowing, which we talked about in episode 1, have led us to glamorize one outcome and demonize another. And it's not an across-the-board statistical conclusion, because not every person wants this essence or desires that style. It has to do with our own perceptions of each style element, whether that be body shape, color palette, or vibe, and the conditioning you've undergone to idolize one element. Instead of being curious about the outcome of your style exploration, meaning you are seeking an answer to something and you are not attached to only one outcome, we develop confirmation bias instead, either positively or negatively. I'm not a sexy femme fatale, so I can't have the romantic essence, or I look like a mermaid, so I must have the ethereal essence. The problem with either one of these is that it's not getting in touch with the explorations and providing you with enough concrete data to make that assertion, which in turn has you feeling like an imposter. And the more education you acquire on the topic or system, the more you see your original flaws in your previous thinking. It's as if being able to look back with hindsight and see all the mistakes validates this thought that, see, I knew I wasn't worthy, or see, I knew I shouldn't trust myself. So what type of imposter syndrome shows up in your style journey? There are generally 5 types of imposter syndromes. Let's go through them. There's the expert. This subtype involves feeling like you need to know everything before taking on a role or claiming expertise. Individuals with this subtype may hesitate to claim a role because they feel they lack sufficient knowledge or expertise, even if they are highly qualified. Then there's the natural genius. People with this subtype believe that their success should come effortlessly, and if they have to work hard at something, it means they're not truly talented. They may avoid claiming a role because they fear they won't be able to excel without inherent brilliance. Then there's the soloist. This subtype involves feeling like you must accomplish tasks on your own without asking for help. Individuals with this subtype may hesitate to claim a role because they feel like they need to be entirely self-sufficient and may perceive asking for help as a sign of weakness. Then there is the superperson. This involves setting extremely high standards for oneself, but also feeling like you need to excel in all areas of life simultaneously. Career, family, relationships. People with this subtype may hesitate to claim a role because they fear they won't be able to balance all aspects of their life perfectly. Then there's the perfectionist. Perfectionists often set extremely high standards for themselves and believe they must excel in every aspect to be considered competent or worthy. When they perceive themselves falling short of these standards, they may feel like imposters, doubting their abilities and feeling unworthy of claiming certain roles or accomplishments. And then there is a further subtype that isn't officially included, but that's called the outsider. The outsider often feels like they don't belong or that they're different from others in their field. They may hesitate to claim a role because they don't feel like they fit in the typical mold or because they fear rejection or ostracism from their peers. At different junctures of your style journey or integrating different elements of your life, you may feel different types of imposter syndrome. But for our style purposes, I think we will focus on the perfectionist imposter syndrome and the outsider subtype. Essentially, you will feel like a fake. You're going to be unmasked or discovered as someone who dared to claim this image identity or that color palette. Now, your style journey is about an authentic you. And truly, you are the only person who can decide what that means. The style systems are there to provide you with the foundational fashion information and support in your journey, not for you to dampen your natural shine or lessen your style goals. Now, the larger question might be, where does this imposter syndrome come from? Why don't you feel comfortable embracing a, quote, fairies in a forest reading poems, quote, style goal? Is it a private feeling that you would have in a style vacuum? Or is it a cultural issue when outside voices have caused self-doubt? Honestly, I think it's both. The original studies on imposter syndrome suggested that women, minorities, and people early in their career are most likely the ones to feel this experience. But more recent studies suggest it is largely due to external factors and situations. So, when we are searching to overcome this hurdle, think about who you are listening to. How are they presenting the information? How are they communicating things? Is it a truly reliable source? And do you walk away from that conversation, education, experience, feeling empowered or challenged in a positive way? Now, before we get into actually claiming a part of your style, let's talk about some tips to overcome the intrusive thoughts of imposter syndrome. And as someone who deals with this myself in various facets of my life, I'm going to link 2 books I found incredibly illuminating. One is called The Confidence Code, where 2 female scientists study where confidence comes from. And the second is called The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women. Both incredibly helpful in reframing these experiences. Now, imposter syndrome. First, we have to recognize that these are not truthful thoughts. If your mind goes to, I'm not pretty enough to have that essence, that's not truthful or correct. That's a self-imposed narrative that you've told yourself enough times that you feel it's part of your truth, which leads to checking your internalized thoughts with your habitual narrowing, also called cognitive rigidity or cognitive inflexibility. It's our restricted thinking patterns or a limited range of cognitive processes. It can mean we are resistant to change or that we have limited problem-solving strategies because of our rigid beliefs. And so the question that comes up is, can I really not wear X garment because I'm this image identity? And we start those stories to confirm our beliefs, like, well, when I was 15, I wore a coral dress to a dance and that warm color looked terrible on me, so I can't possibly be a true spring. But what was your standard of measuring at 15? And what knowledge did you have to validate these conclusions? You may think that that's an extreme example, but various forms of this pop up in our minds, and we let them have so much power over our decisions. And allowing these intrusive, poorly concluded ideas to consume you and create anxiety around your style journey also leads to a lack of confidence in your own style choices, which is why you need to tap back into that rational mind and see your data. I don't want you to watch any video, even mine, and walk away with a foregone conclusion about your style. I want it to start triggering a style experiment. You need the data and reflections to create resilience about those intrusive thoughts. So, the daily outfit photos. Again, I know I'm a broken record, but they can help you shape your narrative with rational proof. As Steve Jobs said, you can't connect the dots by looking forward. You can only connect them by looking back. And those daily outfit photos and reflections are your dots. Also, doing a closet audit, which I have a video on, that guides you to emotionally connect to the clothes you want to keep and release the ones that no longer resonate, because this helps your style goals align with your actual style items. And then you also need to align your goals with your values. So if you value modesty, but your romantic essence suggests more form-fitted pieces, how can you stretch your style creativity to expand past that initial interpretation? Maybe through texture, through print, through accessories, or through small details that help shape the entire look's energy without sacrificing modesty or your romantic essence. You're in control. Connecting all of these points, investing in your style and vision, and finding value in your style choices is how you stop feeling like an imposter and how you claim something for your style toolbox. This is where I'm also going to suggest you listen to episode 1 about the style toolbox, because this is about building your unique style recipe and learning to claim what you feel is right for your authentic style expression. Now, let's talk about the different types of claims and how they can get super confusing when asking for style feedback from others. So generally, there are 3 types of claims, and within your style journey, you'll encounter all 3 most likely. First, there are fact-based claims. These are statements that can be proven to be true or false based on objective evidence, systems, or data. Kibbe created the Kibbe system, and in his system, you cannot be a 5-foot-tall gamine. Next, there's a claim of value, which asserts qualitative judgments along a good-to-bad continuum relating to persons, events, and things in one's environment. If you constructed a position claiming that something is good or bad, or one thing is better than another, you've made a claim of value. A value claim would be something like, those style lines look good on you because you are maintaining your vertical line and you don't have a lot of staccato breaks in your outfit. Now, the third is a claim of policy. This asserts that something should or should not be done by someone about something. Confusing, I know. It proposes that some specific course of action should, but not necessarily will, be taken. The key word in a claim of policy is the conditional verb should, which implies that some action ought to be taken, but not that it must or will be taken. A claim of policy would be soft summers shouldn't wear bright, warm colors. Now, here's the problem when applying all of these theories to style. Collectively, we might agree or disagree on certain claims, but the person who is winning at their personal style is the person who is elevating their own style POV as the most important factor. It doesn't mean that they don't listen to others or ask for feedback, but they've built up their trust muscle and have the rational proof and a working style toolbox to say, well, that person on Reddit had good intentions, but I like X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to explore it. Or they feel comfortable saying, well, I know Kitchener wouldn't assign me the angelic essence, but through my own style exploration, I've found that flowy materials and iridescent colors are a part of my style toolbox. So claiming something as yours shouldn't be a crowdsourced activity. How is it yours if you're allowing others the power to bestow it upon you? Being open to feedback when you have a particular question or a style hurdle that you'd like to ask an open and supportive style group is fantastic. However, you need to make sure you're asking the right questions and seeking it from an aligned source. So, how do you stop feeling like an imposter when you're dressing like a fairy princess or being a femme fatale or any other style goals you have? You seek authenticity. You invest in the goal, and you commit to reframing your cognitive rigidity to the new data you collect. You're curious about it, not because you want to confirm this or that, because you want the answer no matter the outcome. And maybe that looks like you finalizing which fruit body shape you are. Or maybe it's as simple as, I like clothes that show off my waist. The process and the data is so much more valuable to your actual style growth than any one name or category you could embrace. Because that process teaches you to trust yourself, and the data supports the conclusions you're making, which all helps you form your unique style POV. It's your style then. Authentic personal style is like a beautiful dance between form and function, and I'm thrilled to be on this journey with you. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss the next episode, all about finding a style journey protocol that actually helps you reframe your progress and achieve those big style goals. Until next time. The Style POV podcast content is for general informational purposes only and should not be considered professional advice. The views expressed by hosts and guests are their own. Gabriella Ruta is not liable for any errors or omissions, and listeners use the information at their own risk.